preach two messages there, one from Isaiah chapter 25 and one from Isaiah chapter 47. And so this morning I want to take a break from our studies in Exodus, and I want to share with you some of the things that I'll be bringing out, Lord willing, from Isaiah. And so if you would please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. And this chapter begins with a word of praise to the God who alone does wonderful things. The psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things." And he said, "Lord, for thou art great and doest wondrous things." And here in Isaiah, in chapter 25, the Spirit of God moved the prophet Isaiah to write in verse 1, "O Lord, I'll praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things." Look here at verse 1, if you're with me in Isaiah chapter 25. We read in verse 1, "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Now, God Almighty alone does wonderful things. There's no one else in existence who can do anything at all apart from the will and the power of Almighty God. He alone is the self-existent and eternal one who is absolutely self-sufficient. Everything else in existence derives its power and its being from God Himself. We behold His wonders in all of creation. The sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets in the orbit, all the seas and the oceans and all the mountains and all the little hills, all the wonders of creation. The human body is amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. The psalmist said this. He said, "Lord, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise thee." He said, "I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." And brethren, our Lord has not only done wonders in all of creation, but our Lord does wonders in providence. Absolutely all things are working together for His own glory and for the good of His people. All that takes place in time was purposed by God from before the foundation of the world. Yes. And nothing can thwart Him in His purposes. So that the Lord declares this of Himself. He says, "I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none like me," declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Who can stop God? He works such wonders in providence that we just stand in awe. And consider this, brethren, all throughout history, all that's taken place throughout history, wars and famines and the rising up of nations and the bringing down of nations, all these things and every last detail have led to you and me being here right now, worshiping God in sweet fellowship while the rest of the world is in spiritual darkness, one hair's breadth away from going to hell, all because God in His mercy decreed before time began that we would be the objects of His saving mercy and grace through the blood and the merits of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could spend all eternity just thinking about all the intricate details and all the expense and all the things that led up to this point, and we'd never cease to wonder at God's providence. Moses said, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Brethren, our Lord does absolute wonders in salvation. God made His own Son to be sin for us. Our Lord bore our sins in His own body, and He bore the wrath of God in our place. And when He bore that wrath, He died in our place, and He ascended to heaven to sit on His throne where He sits there now as the glorified God-man ruling all things. Yes, for his glory and our good. And when He walked this earth, He revealed His power to heal sicknesses and to unstop deaf ears and to give sight to the blind and even raise men from the dead. Yes. And when our God sends forth His Spirit as it pleases Him, He raises dead sinners to spiritual life. And He works faith in them and He causes His light to shine where before there was only darkness. This is the God who does wondrous things, who rules and overrules all things in providence for His own glory and for the good of His people. And so Isaiah says here, "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Now, throughout this chapter, we read of the wonderful things that our God has done, is doing, and will yet do for his chosen people. Now let me show you that. Look here at verse 2. For thou hast made of his city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Now consider this, brethren. All throughout the scriptures, whenever God's people, whenever Israel was brought into bondage by some other nation, whether it was in Egypt or whether it was in Babylon, God always promised that in due time, at the time that he appointed before the world was, he would deliver them from all of their bondage, and he would bring destruction upon all those who held them in bondage. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, our Lord brought them out, working such wonders that the whole world would hear and would know and would be terrified that the God of Israel is in their midst. In Isaiah's day, the Lord gave him a vision of future events in which the nation of Israel would be brought in bondage into Babylon. And then, at the time appointed by God, the Medes and the Persians would come in and they would fight Babylon and they would overthrow them so that the Israelites could come back, they could safely return to the land of their fathers and rebuild the temple according to God's purpose. That is what's pictured here in Isaiah, in chapter 25 and in verse 2. Isaiah prophesied the coming destruction of Babylon, so that in verse 2, again, we read, "For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built." But brethren, there's more to this. This prophecy points even further in time to that which is spoken of in Revelation, to the destruction of spiritual Babylon, which represents all false religion, that great whore that corrupts the whole earth. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah 47, and again, this prophecy speaks of the destruction of both the ancient city of Babylon and of spiritual Babylon. Now, here in verse 1, if you're in Isaiah chapter 47, our Lord speaks of that destruction that must come upon Babylon because of her wickedness. In verse 1, it says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms." Now, brethren, here the Lord declares that this nation of Babylon will be brought down and be put in the dust and be stripped of all the things that had made her glorious because she would not be merciful to his people. Look here at verse 6. "I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it." Now, watch what it says here. "Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwelleth carelessly, that saith in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments." All that she thought would never come upon her is going to come upon her in one day. Now, this is the very same language used in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. Here in Isaiah, we read of the fall of that ancient city in Isaiah's day, but the very same language is used in Revelation in reference to spiritual Babylon, that great whore which represents all false religion. Now, listen to this. You don't have to turn there, but in Revelation chapter 18, John sees a vision of an angel who cries out with a strong voice, "Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils." And he says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And John says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people." that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And here's what I want us to consider. That voice from heaven says, how much hath she glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. And that's just what she says here in Isaiah chapter 47, right here in verse 8, in the last part of verse 8. She says in her heart, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. She thinks that she is invincible, that nothing can stop her. And then it says this in Revelation, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord that judgeth her. Strong is the Lord that judgeth her. Now, brethren, again, the Lord says that because she says in her heart, I am a queen and I'm no widow and I shall see no sorrow, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. This woman represents all those who go out into eternity thinking they're righteous because of something they've done. God has cursed self-righteousness. Now here in verse 10, the Lord says of Babylon, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. She takes the place of God. She says, I am and there's none else beside me. A place that only God can take. She makes herself God. And the Lord says in verse 11, therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know whence from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Now, brethren, we know that God will destroy every false refuge, either in mercy or in wrath. But God will destroy every last false refuge.
Yes, sir.
And our walls of defense will come crumbling down. And brethren, the greatest gift that God can give to a sinner who lives in a false refuge is the gift of burning that refuge to the ground and revealing Christ to us and in us, giving us faith. Each and every one of God's chosen people will be stripped of every false refuge and be placed firmly upon that rock, which is Christ Himself. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat violently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon earth, against which the stream did beat violently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Brethren, aren't you thankful that God gave you ears to hear and faith to believe His word? What a merciful God. What a merciful God. Now, in our text back in chapter 25, let's return to our text in chapter 25. And there we read this in verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth, for thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Now look here at verse 3. It says in verse 3, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. And that points us to all those who will tremble before the Lord Jesus. When Christ comes again in all of His glory to sit on His throne and to judge the whole earth, we read in Revelation, behold, He cometh with clouds and every eye shall see Him. Every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him, even so, amen. And brethren, there will be two groups of people. There will be those whom the Lord has made strong, and there will be those who trusted in their own strength. And the ones whom the Lord has made strong will glorify Him, and the others will tremble before Him. Now, brethren, when that great day comes, we who believe on Christ will have absolutely nothing to fear. That strength that He's given us is the ability to stand before Him on Judgment Day. But listen, all the reprobate and the wicked and the unbelieving who did not fear God when they walked on this earth, they will beg for the rocks to fall upon them to hide them from Him. Revelation 6:16 says this, "And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." In Isaiah 13, we read these words, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He shall destroy sinners thereof out of it." When Christ comes again in His glory, the living and the dead will stand before Him at His throne, and they will marvel at Him. And once again, every false refuge will be taken away. Now here in verse 4, we read these words, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." And so, brethren, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is our strength. And He's our refuge, and He's our shelter from the storm. And because all of God's wrath fell on His own Son when He was made sin and when He was made a curse, all those who were in Him when He bore that wrath are free from God's wrath both now and forever.
Amen.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:9 and 10, we read, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us." And Paul said that God turned us from idols to serve Him and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What a wonderful thing it is to consider that by that one offering, our Lord by Himself purged all our sins and delivered us from God's wrath forever. Does that bless you? Here in verse 5, we read these words, "Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low." Again, our God will destroy all those who despise His Son, and all those who rail against Him right now and who rail against His people, they will all be silenced. He will bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. In other words, brethren, it's just like that pillar of cloud in the wilderness that sheltered those Israelites as they were making their way to the promised land. Our God overshadows us and protects us. And here, the noise of strangers is compared to the heat on the ground that just dissipates when a cloud passes over and provides shade. All that heat on the ground, it just dissipates. That's how easily our God will take care of our enemies. Just like a cloud passing over, it'll just, all that noise and all that action of all of our enemies against us will just dissipate. Without effort. God doesn't even have to do anything. They'll just disappear. And then it says here that the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And that is to say that even the chiefest of our enemies, even Satan himself, will be brought low. Look here at verse 6. In verse 6 we read, "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined." And this is a picture of the gospel. It says, in this mountain, and that's referring to God's church. Brethren, this mountain refers to Mount Zion, which is where the temple was built and where the mercy seat was and where God said that He would meet with His people. Mount Zion, His church. That's where He meets with us. And it's in this mountain where the Lord of hosts makes unto all people, that is, people from all different nations and tribes and tongues, He makes them a feast of fat things and wines on the lees. Wines on the lees are the finest of wines. And it says here, a feast of fat things full of marrow and of wines on the lees well refined. And that means the Lord gives us the best. He gives us the best of the best. Our Lord feeds, as our brother John brought out just a while ago, our Lord Himself feeds us with the living bread and satisfies our thirst with His own precious blood. He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, here in verse 7, it says, "And He," that is Christ, will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all the nations. Now, brethren, that means that he will remove that veil and that curse of spiritual blindness and all false religion once and for all from the face of the earth. And consider this, brethren. First, our God removed the veil from the eyes of his chosen people among the Israelites. And then he sent forth his gospel into all the world. And by the power of his Spirit, he continues to take away that veil from the eyes of his chosen people among the Gentiles. And soon, very soon, all spiritual darkness and all false religion will be gone forever. Here in verse 8 we read, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth. The Lord has spoken it. Now, here's a promise that has been fulfilled and shall be fulfilled at the end of the age when Christ comes again in all of his glory. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, Paul quoted this verse. And he said this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed from this corruptible, or for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, when we have our new glorified bodies, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And so Isaiah was pointing us to that final resurrection of all of God's saints. Then will the saying in Isaiah come to pass, death is swallowed up in victory. Now it says here, "And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth." And brethren, you know what it says in Revelation chapter 21. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." What a wonderful God, and what a day to look forward to. Here in verse 9 it says, "And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, and we've waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Amen. Brethren, he's already saved us, and he will yet save us when he comes again in all of his glory. Yes. To take us from this earth. When the Lord walked this earth and he fulfilled all the things that he was sent here to do, those who believed him said, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord." And in this gospel age, those who believe him, we all say the same thing. By faith, we see him and we say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord." And brethren, when he comes again, and when we see him as he is in all of his glory, we will say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Does that bless you to think of the day when we'll see him face to face just like this? Do you believe you're going to see the Lord face to face just like this?
Yes.
What a day that will be. I can't wait till that day, and I know you can't either, brethren. Well, here's the last thing I'd like for us to see, and I'll wrap up this lesson. Look here at verse 10. We read in verse 10, "For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill." Now, brethren, this points to the end of our struggle with sin in the flesh. And this is wonderful. Moab was a son of Esau, and he was always in conflict with the Israelites. And that points us to the conflict of God's people between the old man and the new man within us. Though we're in conflict with those all around us who hate the true God and who despise his people, the greatest conflict we have is the one between the old man and the new man in us.
Yes, sir.
This flesh is corrupt and defiled, and it's always trying to bring us back into bondage. When God forms that new man within us, the conflict begins between the flesh and the spirit. And brethren, that conflict will only get worse as the Lord makes us more and more aware of our sin. But listen, here's the good news. That conflict will end forever as soon as we take our last breath. For in this mountain, it says here, that is among God's people, for in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. That is, our Savior will protect us and He will give us rest. And brethren, it says here, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And that means that one day this war with the flesh, this terrible warfare between the old man with the flesh and that new man that God has formed in us, will one day cease. And the Lord will trod down that old man like straw is trodden down for the dunghill. No more sin in us, no more sin around us forever and ever. And then it says this, here in verse 11, we read, and he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. That is, he will utterly destroy our enemies once and for all of our enemies. Death, hell, the grave, Satan himself, and all of our sins, and all those who abuse us and persecute us, and even our flesh, every last enemy will be completely erased from existence. And the picture here is of our God as a swimmer who puts his hands together when he goes into the water and then spreads them out as he moves through the water. And as he spreads out his hands in the water, all of our enemies will be swept away. Again, without any effort, our Lord just spreads his hands and all of our enemies just are destroyed. And along with the spoils in their hands, that is, with all the things that they've stolen from us, everything we've lost will be restored.
Yes.
We won't have lost anything when our God delivers us. And it says here in the last verse, in verse 12, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. When all this is over, and we who believe on Jesus Christ are in the new heavens and in the new earth, where there's no more sin, and where there's no more pain and no sorrow and no death, when even the slime of the serpent will be wiped from the face of the earth and God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, we will clearly see that our God is the one who alone does wonders. What will it be like when we see Him in all of His glory and nothing to distract us from worshiping Him? We don't even know. We can't even imagine what it will be like. But one thing's for sure. We will never cease to praise Him. And we will never cease to love Him. And even more amazing is He will never cease to love us. And throughout all eternity, we will say of Him, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Well, I hope that blessed you, and Lord willing, next week I'll be in San Diego, and brethren, your prayers would be much appreciated. I pray the Lord will bless you here and that all might be for His glory. And our God is wonderful.
Amen.
Absolutely everything He does is wonderful. In fact, that's His name. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.